How are you, DEFCON? Okay. So, you know, you're looking. This is our presentation. We are speaking about car hacking and later about how to do a forensic job into a car after a crash, after an accident, to retrieve all the speed, the RPM, the brake position, and this kind of things. Okay? So, let's start. You know, the talk is called Dude, What the Fuck in My Car? I'm Alberto. He's Javier. Javi. Okay, I'm gonna introduce him before of all. He's a hardware specialist. Okay, he loves breaking toys. Every time I meet with him, he's always with some wire and some stuff, just with the hands very dark, completely dirty, you know, but dirty in the sense of the hand only. Okay. So he's freelance, okay? He's working alone, and he's from Cadiz. We are from Spain, okay? This is important to understand the jokes and these kind of things. I know sometimes we are different kind of jokes, but I think the Spanish jokes are cool. Anyway, I don't know if you have been on Spain, if you have ever been on Spain, but he's from Cadiz. Cadiz is a city that is in the very south of Spain. Just near from Marruecos, whatever. And that's him, okay? And I'm this guy on the left, the youngest one. The other guy is my grandpa. And this is my second time here in DEFCON, okay? Last year I was speaking here about other stuff. The thing is, thank you. The thing is, I don't want to introduce myself like the typical times, like, oh, I'm doing the shit or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So the thing is that I'm going to use a video of the last year. Yeah, that's a piece of the talk of last year here in DEFCON. So I think it will be enough to introduce myself. You see, I'm very lazy. I just reuse the slides.
And I'm from Valladolid. Valladolid is a city 200 kilometers on the north of Madrid. And I'm 24 years old. I'm single. If anyone wants to, okay. No, I'm only like girls. Sorry.
Okay. The thing is that I'm 25 years old right now, but all the same, all the rest is the same, okay? So, only girls, please. Okay, let's go. Okay, like I told you at the beginning, we are speaking about hacking the car, hacking the ECU. The ECU is like the brain of the car. There are different brains around the car, but we are trying to get the control to interactuate with these ECUs that are the main one, are the ECUs where the configuration of the car is stored. Okay, so this is the first part. This is going to be the first part of the talk. And then, like I told you, we are going to do the forensic job. Okay, so we can know what happened in an accident and if someone is guilty or not or whatever. So for now I'm going to give the micro to my friend, my partner, and he's going to start.
Okay, so as Alberto said, I'm Javier, I'm from Cadiz, and all that stuff, I'm not gonna talk again. So, why did this happen, the car hacking thing? Well, I had a friend, I did used to do this chip tuning stuff with my laptop, like everyone does, and he kept on bugging me, you know, like, now I want a factory, now I want a chip, so I said, man, I'll fucking make one piece of hardware, so you keep, you know, just stop bugging me. So, that's how it all started. You know, I just wanted him not to keep on calling me. So, well, at first, of course, I used Google, you know. I tried the easy way, but it didn't work quite much. So, I needed a plan. So, I had to sort it out. At first, I needed some information, of course. I needed to see how our car did work. So I realized that there were different electronic control units, that they were all networked in the same bus. So they were addressable, they had some security. I didn't really know that much. I will explain in a while. And I knew that data was storing them. That's a so-called chip tuning, for example, but there's other interesting data as well. There are some communication protocols. Here we have the most widely spread. These are not the only ones, but they are the most common, especially CAN bus. It's the most recent one, and it's the one that's been used. So here are the differences. And, well, one of the most important things is when I started with this thing was the price. You know, when I was going to develop the tool, it was from my friend. I wanted it cheap, so K-Line was like $10 cheaper. I am that cheap. I just went for the $10 interface, K-Line. Why did I choose it? Well, as I said, it is cheaper. It is just one IC for canvas. We need two ICs. And, you know, ECUs that work with K-Line are older, therefore more cheap. It's all about money, after all, you know.
The difference is that $8, but...
Yeah, it's not that much. You know, it's like $10, $8, but that's something. Then, the question, if it's different, is it easy to implement it? Well, actually, the difference between K-Line and CAN-bus is just a protocol layer. So it's layer one and layer two. All the encryption, all the communication is the same. So if we wanted to move from K-Line to CAN-bus, it would take no time. It would be quite easy, just changing the hardware and changing how the packets are structured. CAN-bus works on SPI, but not really a big deal. So now, at first, what did we know about the ECUs before? We knew that they were expensive. And usually that they are inside cars. You know, I haven't yet seen one like walking down there or spot in the wild, you know, as I say here. So then once I decided to start with it, I had two options. One was to do some research and navigate through the technical information, or we could just hook the logic analyzer. But we decided to go 50-50, you know, just not to make it too boring or too interesting either way. So that's what we found after a little bit of research. They are responsible for the engine management, engine ECUs, not all ECUs. We have ABS ECUs, we have even LOX ECUs, which are called Comfort. We had many others, but this is just engine ones. These ones store engine faults, of course. They hold immobilizer routines as well. And they contain firmware that determines the way the car behaves. So the target hardware, which is the ECU itself, the physical thing, is composed of internal and external flash. Internal flash is most of the times OTP. It's not accessible normally. From the outside, it has internal EEPROM, external EEPROM most of the times as well, and a really annoying black rubber. You know, it's like something when you try to open it, it's stuck. You need to hit it. It sucks. You have to deal with it anyway. So as I said, we attach the logic analyzer. And we saw this stuff. This is exactly from an EDC-15, which is like the first generation, to say somehow. There are older generations, but this one is the first one of the ones we will be talking about. We can see some parts. The first part is the wake-up pattern. It's just the address for the control module, which is 01, sent at 5 bouts. That's it. Then we negotiate the speed, which is just to request the speeds that are supported by the device. Then we change the speed to higher ones because you start on 10,400 bouts. You do the authentication. You set the address you want to read. Or, well, actually, you write at first on EDC-15. You have to send a loader. on 16, you don't have to do that, but I'll talk about that later as well. And the fourth part we can see here is just sending the loader plus operations. So, of course, I was ignorant about that. I just said, man, this is easy. You know, I just replay it. It didn't work. It wasn't that easy. So, after some dumps, after some research, what did I found? Well, actually, we just noticed that there was an authentication that was not static. That's why the replay attack didn't work. So it's called a seed key algorithm. What is it? It's just a challenge. You know, the ECU acts as a server. So you just request authorization. The ECU will send you a seed. You will have to do some stupid math. You will send the result. That's called the key. And there you go. That's it. It has checksum, of course, to check the integrity of the data that you are uploading. When you want to mod it, if you download it, it already has a checksum in, so you don't need to really check anything. And on EDC 15, it requires a loader, as I was saying. Yes, to add, for the operations, it's usually in assembler, and it lets you access the EEPROM, access the flash, you know, internal flash. On EDC 16, we have this seed key algorithm as well, but it's not like on EDC 15. There, it is just one level because you just write, send the loader, and then you do the operations with that loader. Here, we have level 3 to read, which is a pretty easy seed key challenge. It's just an add to a number. We have level 2, which is for EEPROM operations, and we have level 1, which is to write the flash of the device, which is a little bit more complex, but it's quite like EDC 15. They didn't change it at all, you know, just small things. We have RSA encryption. When you want to download from EDC 16, it's plain. You know, it's just a binary. You can put it into IDA or your favorite tool. No problem. It's easy. But when you want to upload it, of course, you need to have the checksums like you did earlier, but it needs to be RSA encrypted into two blocks of 256 kilobytes in this case. Well, actually, whatever you want to upload, it must be always encrypted in blocks of 256 kilobytes. Well, how did we do it? My wife helped me just a little bit, you know. She's a nice guy. Now, why is this interesting? Well, you know, I think we all want to save a few bucks. So if you mod your car to have more mileage per gallon, that's good. As well, the difference between most of cars, you know, like, for example, my own car is a Seat Ibiza. I have the Cupra one, which is 167 horsepower. I just modded it. Now it's 210 horsepower. That's easy. It's free. You know, that's good. Of course, it's cool to tweak with a car. You know, it's like, man, it's so fucking huge, so expensive. I'm just hacking it. That's cool. So it's just 26 bucks to do that. So. What does the ECU tool code look like? Well, at first, I started with EDC 15, which was the ECU in my car and in my friend's car. So I developed the whole thing. It was 1,800 lines of code for Arduino, which is C. Then I wanted to start reversing it for EDC 16 as well, so I just had to start from scratch as well. So I got two different binaries, one for EDC 16, which is almost the same lines, even though procedures are different. The first point, I am using an Atmega 328P and Arduino Uno to say, so I had to be really careful while coding it due to the limitations of the MCU itself. And we're actually working now on externalizing, for example, I coded these loaders in the firmware, but we thought that it would be better to externalize it into binary so we could read them out, and by making it with modules, you know, the procedures, we can make an universal firmware, so we don't need to be updating it every time we want to add support for new ECUs. And that's what we are working on now. This is how a Bosch EDC-15 board looks like. As I said, it has an EEPROM. In this case, it's external. It has the MCU, and it has the external flash. This is a little bit of the code from the EDC-15 authentication, the SID key. The algorithm is static, but then, for example, here I have an EDC-15P. This one, this has one set of keys to say, even though the algorithm is the same for all the EDC-15 family. If we get an EDC-15V, then the keys change, and the VM keys are different, so we would need to extract the keys for every single ECU. But that's not a hard task. It can be done with brute forcing and some power tricks, to say. Because it stores the times you have done a wrong login, but you can glitch it just to forget about it, or just as it got wrong, you know, it's the same. Now, this is the board for a Bosch EDC-16. In this case, the EEPROM is internal, but there are variants which have an external EEPROM. There's the MCU, the internal flash, which stores the SID key algorithm, interesting. We have the external flash, and we have a JTAG port, which is called the BDM, Bench Diagnostics mode, but it's just a JTAG. Here we have part of the code for the level 1 authentication for EDC-16 as well. Just like it happens on EDC-15, for example, we have an EDC-CP34. It's a different model. It's still EDC-16. The algorithm will be the same. The key will be different. Still, the brute force method that works on EDC-15 works on EDC-16. So we can do it exactly the same way to dump the keys from it. This is the level 3 authentication. That's, as I said, it's just a NAT. You know, the ECU sends you a challenge. You just add, I don't remember what number is it. 2FC9X, you just add whatever is sent that number, and you got it. That's how much they brainstormed, you know, for this. And here we can see an example of RSA encryption in EDC-16. On the first part, the top, is the binary. So I just pointed out this red square, so we can see the data we are working on this one. Part 2, you can see a readout. The data is the same. So you can just retrieve the data, plain. It has no encryption, it has nothing. Then part 3 is the write-out. When you're writing this data down here, even though it's completely different, it's the same. It's just encrypted. So that's how it looks. You know, it looks different. How did we handle it? RSA encryption in the tool. Well, ASM instructions, you know, we're that lazy. We didn't really want to. You will see it. It takes approximately 10 seconds to encode 512 kilobytes, which is the map for chip tuning. That's the size. And we do it before the ECU init, because it takes 10 seconds, and that will suppose a timeout in the communication with the ECU if we first check if it's there, and we cannot afford to lose communication due to the speed. And, of course, the checksum is calculated at the same time. Since we are reading the source file, the checksum is calculated for the non-encrypted file, not for the encrypted one. So we do both things at the same time, encryption and checksum. This is a small part. It was like four pages, so I just show in the first one for the EDC 16 encryption algorithm. So we can see that's the kind of operations.
Like he told you, his wife helped him to do that. So that's the, you know his wife. He's a bitch. He's with everyone.
Sorry.
So this is just assembler, you know. Well, this is not a new concept, chip tuning. You know, you can get tools for that. It's not like... These are the prices. I consider that expensive. I don't know about you. So this is what our tool costs. It's a little bit cheaper. Thanks. And this is how it looks. It's really fancy. It has mustaches on it. So, and it's portable. You know, you don't need a laptop at all. And you can just throw it. It doesn't work, so don't worry. And well, you know, this is, I will be releasing the code soon, the schematics. So this is open source. You can do whatever you want on it. So you're paying $26 for a device that you will be able to tweak. So I think it's worth than paying like $5,000 for a closed tool. These are the features for our tool. It is not locked to a single vehicle. There are some other standalone tools there that require no computer, but you are paying like $1,000 to be able to use it on your own car. I don't believe in that. It doesn't store encrypted files. I don't want you to need to use my tool. You can use whatever you want. You know, just download it with my tool or download it with any other tool. It does not use a master-slave role, which is pretty much the encrypting file things. And as I said, open source, so you can just add support for whatever you want. Any other modules, diagnostics, there will be some cool stuff coming. This is the lower interface side. We can see the Arduino Mini Pro that is used in the left, middle. On the bottom is the level shifter. Sorry. Yeah. This is just a voltage regulator, 7805, to get the 5 volts out of the 12. And this is an SD card reader. The top, you know, it's just an LCD I2C, and the buttons, I think you can see it's homemade. And this is a very cute Eagle interface board. It's just the same hardware. This part is an RG45 connector, so you can get the thought of how tiny it is. And it has FTDI already embedded in, so you can update it or whatever, you know, straight off.
The thing is, that is homemade, okay? The thing that you saw before, this is homemade. If you want to do it better with this board, it's much smaller than this, okay? This is just a case to hold all the things that he told you, okay? But this thing is maybe
like a hand?
A quarter size of this.
Yeah, so it's smaller, and the thing of the smaller side is interesting because we are speaking later about what evil things we can do with this thing, okay? So that's not smart, okay.
We're so evil. So here's an example how to make it wireless. This is just the same thing. What we did is the serial console, we just ported it to, you know, we added Bluetooth. It's just $1, and we can control it with our Android phone. So it's wireless, and it's cheap. Now, some samples of use for it. Like I was saying, we can mod it to have more mileage per gallon. how to bypass IMO, immobilizer on EC15. It's just a patch in the apron. It's just 2 bytes. You know, you just do the inverse for them, and you have no IMO. The loader is embedded for reading and writing the apron, so it's just, you know, quite easy in the menus. You just click on a button and it's done. And of course, you can later enable it. Well, disabling a car is fun. You connect the tool, you start to write to it, and when it's in the middle of the writing process, you pull the cable. So it's fucked up. No checksum, no anything. You know, you got an expensive piece of metal. But later on, you can still recover it. Not everything is lost. There are recovery procedures for it. By the diagnostic port, you don't need to pull the echo of the car, and it will eventually work again.
Yeah, but it's funny for a joke.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you know, to find out to a friend when he finds out that his car is not working. Yeah, it's so funny. And an example of GPUs, well, you know, we can add any interface, 3G, we can add Wi-Fi, we can add Bluetooth, as we saw with the phone. And, well, we can disable a car. We could, eventually, it is not yet implemented, that is completely different. We could control a car with this device as well, with other firmware. We could disable or start modules, functions, like turn on the air conditioner and make whoever get a really bad cold, you know. He wouldn't be able to disable. It would be terrible. But. And now, we're gonna do a demo on the EDC 16. It will be console, but we will be able to see the process. And, well, I'm going to show, because you cannot see it from there, but I'm going to explain what we have here. We have an EDC 16 ECU here connected. We have an Arduino Mega 2560. And we have a normal 10 bucks diagnostics cable. So what did they do here? I just wired up the level shifter from the diagnostics to the Arduino, and then this level shifter to the ECU. So we are going to be sending commands from the Arduino to read the information, to read the flash, and to write the, well, we are actually going to kill the ECU, and we are going to revive it again, and we are going to read the info after that. And so let's get to it. So, let's see if it works. We're going to read the info first. We can see that's fast. It doesn't take too much time. Here we have the information, the software version, the engine. This is for a Volkswagen Passat. Being weird, it is not connected to a chassis, but as I said, information is all around the K-Line bus. So we could get the chassis number. The bin number, and this is the software date. So now we're going to read the external flash. It would take a while. So, meanwhile, what can I say about this? It's just so fancy, a light flashing here, you know. It's a pity you cannot see it flashing. Yeah. Well, actually, when I was reversing the protocol, I noticed that there were huge time gaps. You know, this is based on packets. So between each packet is form of bytes, of course. Between each byte, there was a huge time. I don't know how to explain it. I delay, you know, that after some testing, I realized that it wasn't necessary. So I speeded it up. we changed the protocol, we made it faster, it works like approximately 25% faster than original tools on ATC16, and it works like 400 times percent more faster on ATC15. So they didn't really brainstorm too much about that anyway. I will not show the dump at this time because we are running low on time. So now we are going to kill the ECU. Now it's processing the RSA.
You have to believe that, okay? But we are going to show the logical analyzer after that, to show the, okay? A capture of the logical analyzer.
Yeah, we will show now the logic analyzer capture so you can see what's going on. So we gotta be faster now. So what we are going to do to kill, since we have no cable to plug, we're just going to start writing, we're going to send just one packet of data, then we are going to stop communicating with ACU. So now it's deactivated. I need to power cycle it 1 second.
Aye.
So now we are going to try to read the information. Of course, since it's disabled, it won't be replying. So we got no response. It's disabled. It's just a piece of junk right now. But now we are going to make it work again. Yeah, it should be fast. Yes, this RSA thing is so slow. You know, it's an 8-bit processor with 2 kilobytes of RAM. It takes a while. Yeah, no. Actually, to revive it, since we screwed up the flash, you know, we were starting to write, we erased the whole flash, it was blank, we started to write, so checksums were incorrect. Now to fix it, we need to write the whole flash again. We are writing what we read out the first time. So, now, as I said, RSA encryption here is divided in blocks of 256 kilobytes. The full flash is 512 kilobytes, so we will be writing 2 blocks. This is the first block. Now we're starting with the second block. Yeah. Since we are running out of time, we will go now on with the forcings. If there's enough time, we will show the logic analyzer. It will be fast. Just showing out the, or maybe while it's writing, we can just show, okay. I'll show the, this is the seed key. Okay, we will, these packets, this is so small. 82 is the address, the target address. 10 is the source address. F1 is a request. Now, 27 means we want to have security access. We are sending this packet. Now, this is the level, level 01, which is to write. So the ECU will reply with the 6701 means okay, I will send you the challenge. So here we have, for example, 86, 58, 86 C. That will be the seed for the challenge. Now we would process this and we should send, okay, 2702. We must add 1 to the security level we requested, and you know, and these are just 4 bytes, these ones here. And then if we succeed, it will reply with a 67. If we fail, it will reply 7F, which means denied. And when writing, we can see this is a huge block here. Then we stop, we delete the second block, we write the second block, and then we're done. That's the writing process. So, 1 second, I need to power cycle it. And now, we are going to read the info again to see it works. So, again, it's alive after killing it. It reads the info. So now, it worked. And...
No, it's not connected. I just passed the slide, but it wasn't. It's not connected, so you didn't see the joke.
Oh. Windows.
It was a joke. Okay, yeah. The Spanish, you know. Anyway. So. I have only like 10 minutes, so I'm gonna go fast. What happened in an accident? That the police usually do is just to, you know, look the marks in the floor where the accident happens, and looks the deformation of the car and these kind of things to know what was the speed and the things that happened. But the IT guys, we have a really cooler way to get all the data, to know all the exactly parameters of the accident. So, let's go to see what happened. In all the cars, in our cars, we have like a black box, just the same like in a plane. The only difference is that it doesn't record the sound. So don't worry if you speak dirty things or whatever. So. It is not stores, okay? So it stores information before and after the crash. It is very interesting because even after the crash, there is a memory that stored information. So we could have more information about the accident itself. So that information, like I told you at the beginning, is related with the speed. This is the most important. The RPM, brake use, ABS activity, and it depends on the brand, okay? On the brand of that have made the ECU. But there are a lot of information that is stored in the ECU. Usually, this information is stored in the airbag ECU, okay? Most of the times. So we have to take this part of the car. The ECU is similar. It's just it's a little bit smaller than the ECU, this ECU, okay? And the info is stored in the EEPROM memory. The EEPROM is non-volatile, yeah? And so we can access to the data after the crash, okay? It's great for that. There is costly hardware and software that is outside, and you can use it. But the thing is, this talk is about how to make a thing that costs only $25 instead of thousands of dollars. And in that case, even the tools used to get information are more expensive than to modify the ECUs. So the cool thing is that we did something to the poor people. So. Yeah, we are speaking all the time about 5 minutes, okay. We are speaking all the time about the Bosch ECUs, okay? So, there are three different ways to extract information from an ECU after a crash. In that case, from the airbag ECU. The first of all is connecting to the ODB. There is an option to connect to the ODB. The ODB is the port that is behind the wheel in the car, and we can just access to the information. Not in all the times, because you know, in some crashes, the car is completely fucked. So, So there is the connection is lost, so we can retrieve the information, okay? So the other most common way is just to connect directly to the ECU, okay, and get the information. But for that, we need an authentication, okay? We need a kind of authentication. Maybe it's not a strong authentication, but anyway, it's an authentication. And finally, we have the fancy way, the cool way, I think, is read directly the EEPROM memory. Okay, I've said that all the information is just in the EEPROM, so we can read it. Okay, yes, it's more hardware stuff than software stuff. I'm a software guy. Okay, for me, maybe it's more difficult, but for this kind of people of hardware, it's like eating an ice cream. Okay, this is the first one. This is the ODB port behind the wheel. So this is the first way. This is the other way that is connecting directly to the airbag DCU to get information. And the last one is, this is an apron memory. This is the size of the apron. You see it in the finger. So it's very small, but we can do it. We can do it. So this is the hardware I told you before. Hardware and software. Okay, the hardware is, it's like no hardware because it doesn't do almost anything. But anyway, and the software, that is the real important part of this kit. The premium tool hardware kit costs almost $9,000. Yeah, it's I'm not going to pay for that. So what about the poor guys? What about people like me that have just ended the school and university and these kind of things, and we don't have money? The software that is, for me, I think is the important part, is you can access to him free, for free, okay? It's free software. So the code that will parse the data, that is the most important, because we can retrieve the information of the EEPROM, but we have to parse this information to know, okay, from the byte 11 until the byte 40 is the speed, and from the byte whatever until the byte whatever is whatever. Okay? So we have to parse it. So, yeah, we can, I know. No, his wife is very known, and I sleep with his wife once too. Sorry, man. Okay, and that's the thing. This tool, these are the models of the vehicles that are supported. Okay, so there are a large list of vehicles, the brands of vehicles that are supported to do this. But did you miss something? Mercedes? Yeah, it's not in the list. So, what happened? Once upon a time, a client contacted us to do a forensic job into a car. And the car was a Mercedes. So we said, one, maybe two. Okay, one. Okay, so we said, well, what are we doing to do? So what we do? What? First of all, we read the EEPROM, okay? That's soldering. Is soldering? Yes, soldering. It's a leg of the EEPROM memory to extract information. Yep. And then we retrieve all the information on the EEPROM, but we said, okay, we have the info, but we don't know how to parse this info. We don't know what parts of the binary, because it's an app, a binary. We don't know what parts of the binary are real, the speed, the RPM, or whatever. So what we did is just to erase one copy of this binary and make a bin diff. Okay? So we knew what exactly parts were modified after the crash. So at least it's a good point to start. Okay, so the next step was already filtered the information. We only have the information. We only have the parts of the ECU. Okay, I'm going. It's 1 minute, a half. I think it's okay. Yeah, we use WinOLS. That is a software to print the graphics, to print the cartography. On we difference between the graphic that are how is it in English, crescent and decrescent. Okay, so what do you think the speed will be in a cross? Decrescent, right? If you cross, you stop. The speed is decrescent. So we found this. Okay. You can see, after looking a lot, we found this graphic that matches in our gathering information, in our research. So we had Anyway, so you know, we are running out of time. We want to say thank you to you. Like always, to our family, to our friends, and all those who want to understand how and why things work. Thank you very much.